Welcome to Unhinged with Coach and Tom. I'm Coach. You're not my person. Who the hell are you?
I'm Wyatt.
And that means what?
Well, you know, Coach, we've been friends for a long time. I figured maybe you would actually remember me. We've been friends a long time.
So this is why. Yes, it is. We have been friends for a very long time. We've been friends since I think I was like 16 or 17. I believe I had either just gotten out of high school or he was just getting out of high school, and we just started hanging out. Like the first time we hung out, we were both bored. I was in an apartment for the summer away from college and
them hood ass apartments,
bro.
In Orange.
Bro, God, I was in an apartment where the only thing there was to drink really was fucking beer, and that's actually a story I have never actually told. So, I hate the smell, the taste, the anything of beer, because I lived in an apartment for a summer where the only thing to drink was beer. Yeah, so I was in this apartment and I was bored. I had nothing to do. Summer vacation, woo, so fun.
Back when we didn't have no bills.
Exactly, back when we didn't have no bills. And Wyatt was bored. He posted, I think it was on Facebook or something, that you know he had nothing to do. And blah blah blah. And so I was like, hey, I'm in town. I'm not doing anything. And we had never hung out before. And he jumped in his. Was it a Jeep that you had at the time?
Yeah, I had my Jeep.
The orange Jeep at the time?
My not Jeep.
Yeah. He jumped in his Jeep and literally came and got me. It was like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. That was your parents, right? Or your grandparents?
No, that was my parents. I was like, this is a black son you never had.
Yeah, he told his parents. It was like 10 o'clock at night. He goes out, gets me, brings me back. And like his parents were like, hi. And that was the end of it. And it just kept happening whenever I was in town and whenever I didn't have anything to do. This is who I hung out with. And I went to Cowboy Church with him a couple times. There was a lot of nights of like video games and just doing stupid shit. And his parents even let me sleep in the like spare bedroom. And oh my God, the bedroom was fantastic.
One of the two extra rooms.
Yeah, one of the two extra rooms in the house on the second floor. And it was fantastic. And his mother is like one of the greatest cooks ever, so yeah.
She's a godsend, that's for sure.
Yes. So absolutely yes. Hanging out with him was the absolute best. But yes, this is Wyatt. He's filling in for Tom, who is, I believe, out on assignment. But your job is up for takes. So he's filling in for this week because he wanted to shoot an episode of the podcast. He's never done it before, so we're seeing how he goes.
Maybe a rookie, but I've seen plenty of them. I'm sure I can get along just fine.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and tell everybody about yourself?
Well, born and raised here locally. Between Guna and Vider, between Vider and Mauriceville. For a long time. I know I'm not racist. I hate everybody equally. Some more than others, but you know, those some is white people. I can really, really can't stand white people. Anyway, I've been in construction basically my whole adult life. Been pretty well on the conservative side, not so much diehard Republican, but on the conservative side most of my life. Never really completely understood the point that, you know, the other side makes. But, you know, I was married. I'm divorced now. My ex-wife was a very far left extreme liberal. That's probably why it didn't work. But, no, I just, you know, been in Virginia for 4 years. Building utility scale solar farms. It's been a blast. Came back home and had to start over from scratch again, basically. It's probably the third or fourth time. and going from pipeline, coming back, starting over, and going out to Virginia, coming back and starting over. It's a pain in the ass, you know, Bidenomics and all that shit. Everything's higher than shit. But you know, we're making it. I just, you know, started working with this builder, like I was telling you off air. It's been a pretty good gig. I'm learning a lot of stuff, and you know, there's a potential to make a whole lot of money. So it's cool. It's gonna be a good time.
Sweet. So this week's episode is, as it's titled, Conversations with a Conservative. So the reason that is because I myself have begun kind of looking into the political scale of things, because I've never actually paid much, if any, attention to politics. Surprise, surprise. And what I noticed was there is a lot of hate for conservative Republicans, that kind of thing, in this, you know, like in this general area and in the world in general, for a lot of people that, you know, I speak with and talk to and hang out with. I've had one person tell me that all, you know, conservatives and Republicans are assholes and evil and terrible people, and just they want to ruin the world and kill us all and da 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 da. And, you know, bring back slavery and Jim Crow laws and da da da. And I'm just like, that's kind of weird.
Well, what a lot of liberals don't understand is that the KKK was formed by the Democratic Party.
Right. And so what I did was I did speak to a few people that I do know that are part of the Republican Party here in Texas. And I do know those people personally. And so I reached out to them. Whoops. And I had just a general conversation through Messenger. And one of them sent me a message with a list of things. I'm going to try and pull it up if I can get my Messenger to come up. Not going to show you all my DMs, but, you know, it's better to show you what I'm looking at than trying to explain it over air. Oh, come on. Why are you not letting me in?
Just hit the open button.
I did hit the open button. There.
I see. Jesus Christ.
Oh, shut up. Like, you're such a genius. And it's into your coon, blah, blah, blah. Hope that's the right code. Hey, it's the right code. Okay, hold on.
Well, the link you sent me, was that the same one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just go into mine.
Go into the message. What?
And yeah, it's up a little bit more.
Up a little bit more.
Right there.
There it is. Open this, and we're going to go. Okay, guys, so we managed to get this. So give me 1 second, and we are going to share this with you all. Let's see. And we are going to, whoops. All right, back in a moment. Okay, everybody, we're back, and we managed to get the website up and going, and we have it presented for all of you. So this is what was sent to me as this is the easiest way to explain it. So I took this and then started sharing it with others after I had that first initial conversation. So as you can see, Democrat, liberal, left-leaning, Republican, conservative, right-leaning, economic ideas, minimum wages, and progressive taxation, i.e. higher tax rates for higher income brackets, born out of anti-federalist ideas, but overall evolved over time to favor more government regulation. And then for the Republican, conservative, believe taxes shouldn't be increased for anyone, including the wealthy, and that taxes and that wages should be set by free market. So for that idea itself, I have been I have been inundated with for tax purposes, there should be, I believe someone told me there should be a flat tax. And that way taxes don't go up or down for no matter what part of the wage class that you're part of. Mm-hmm. Because right now, as you can see, inflation is a thing. Getting food is... Eating out versus getting groceries has become basically the same thing.
Dude, I haven't bought groceries in 3 weeks. We just eat out all the time.
I haven't bought groceries in... What?
It's...
A couple months?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you go... I normally do all our shopping at Walmart.
Right.
Right. Because that's just... You can get absolutely everything there.
HEB over here.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I would like to go to HEB, but they don't have one inviter.
No. Yeah, that's so, right. They don't.
Even then, I mean, I could go to Orange and go to Kroger, but at the same time, you know, everything's so expensive that by the time I spend the fuel, which, you know, I drive a diesel, by the time I spend fuel and then go over there, get them, spend the $150, $200 for 3 or 4 bags of groceries, and then drive all the way back 30, 40 minutes round trip. You know, I've already spent $200.
Right. So, and for example, for me, just for myself, I tend to spend about $150 to $200 in groceries. Now, when I lived in the dorms for university, that was a lot. Now, it's not nearly as much as what I would bring home from back then. $200 in groceries maybe lasts me, and if I have food here to cook for myself, I eat a lot. Lasts me maybe 2 weeks, and I'm back out again. 2 weeks, if that. If I don't have, you know, guests over, people that are hungry, or, you know, people that, you know, want food, or me and Tom, when we shoot a podcast episode, we're not preparing either pre- or post-podcast meals. If we're not doing all that, then yeah, it'll last. But, and if I, and definitely if I'm here every day and I don't have to work and I have to do 2 or 3 different meals, good God, it's not gonna,
it's atrocious.
It's atrocious, and it's not gonna work.
And DoorDash really doesn't help either, because everything's marked up like 20-30%.
Oh my God, DoorDash, when you do DoorDash, it marks it all up. Now, I used to do Favor, but for some reason, Favor, the app on my phone, it just does not work anymore. It completely stopped working just one day out of the blue, and now the only thing I can use is Uber Eats, because I refuse to use DoorDash, because I've had way too many issues with DoorDash.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I wanted to try and pull one of the responses that I got about the... about the economic ideas. Let me see. Give me one.
I mean, I'll go ahead and touch on my point of view for that.
Definitely go ahead.
You know, traveling the country to work, you see a lot of different economies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to West Texas, you know, it's nothing but desert. You know, Fort Stockton. You know, if anybody's been in West Texas, everybody knows Fort Stockton, or even Pecos. All these places, you're looking, you know, diesel fuel is $4.65 a gallon right now over there. Regular bottom grade, regular fuel, regular gasoline is like $3.55 or $3.60 right now. When I was over there, it was $350 a week for groceries, but their minimum wage over there is $16 an hour, you know, but you come back here, and I noticed this coming back from Virginia, where Virginia's mandated minimum wage, I think it's $12.50 an hour. So then I come back here where our minimum wage is still $7.25, and we can go to McDonald's and eat for $20. You know, we go up there and I get, you know, my 2 triple cheeseburgers and a large fried sweet tea. And then, you know, she gets whatever she gets, but you know, you're spending $35, $40 where I come back home and it's half the price. Mm-hmm. Minimum wages completely skyrocket consumer pricing. And I don't care what anybody says. There's nothing that you can say or do to change my mind on that, because that's a proven fact. You can look it up. It's super, you can fact check me on this if you want to, but it completely obliterates the consumer prices. Mm-hmm. I mean, it skyrockets them. And that's where you get people that are barely living at the poverty line to be even farther under the poverty line. Mm-hmm. Like beforehand, you know, they may have only got $300 a month in, you know, SNAP, food stamps, whatever you want to call it. But now with prices inflating because of a higher minimum wage, they now have to get $600, $700, $800 a month in SNAP
just to be able to
afford to feed theirself and their families.
Right.
I mean, I'm not necessarily for, you know, all these government things either. That's a whole different part of this conversation. But right. It's you know, get off your ass and go work type of thing. You know, I've been doing it since I was 16 years old. You know, I've had one single vacation since I graduated high school.
Right.
And it was last September. I went to the Bahamas on a cruise.
Oh, nice.
It's fantastic. Loved it. Can't wait to go back. I stayed drunk most of the time. Spent $900 in alcohol in 8 days.
Oh, God. Jeez. But so yeah, for one of the things that I got from someone, that they told me that they were more on the conservative side, but they're more of a libertarian, pro freedom, leave them the fuck alone. They leave you the fuck alone. Less tax for everyone. Less government involvement. So that's definitely something I also got across the board. Less government involvement.
Absolutely.
In a lot of things. Less government regulation on pretty much everything. A lot of people do not like having the government involved. And that's not something that I knew too much about, but it was a resounding argument that I got from everybody that I talked to. And I talked to about 10 different people.
I mean, you also understand that, you know, the United States was formed to leave Britain because of taxes, right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole reason we had the Boston Tea Party. The Battle of fucking whatever. I don't know. I can't remember right now off the top of my head. But that's the whole reason we left and even had the Revolutionary War was over taxes. And now they implemented taxes for World War One. They implemented taxes for World War Two. And then right before World War Two is when they finally signed it into a law. But technically, we don't have to pay taxes. Like, legally, you don't have to pay taxes. You can work 1099, you know, and just keep all your receipts and everything else and do your deductions and, you know, keep about 10% of your income.
There you go.
So that way you can pay them, and then they'll end up sending you a check back even if you save 10%.
Right. And then social and human ideas based on individual rights and justice, stance on military issues, increased spending versus decreased spending. A lot of it is opposite.
Well, I think this is a very broad spectrum. Mm-hmm. As well. It's not really detailed. Here it says the Democrats want to decrease spending on military issues. I mean, just look at what Biden's done the last 3.5 years. You know, it was a complete shit show in Iraq or Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Complete shit show. I mean, just handed billions of dollars of weaponry to, you know, the opposing forces.
Right, the opposing forces.
Yeah, I can go on a whole fucking tangent on this. But I mean, absolutely, we need to invest in our military. We absolutely have to. We need to pay them more.
Agree.
We need to, you know, give more,
for me,
like, benefits for these guys that want to go in, guys and girls to go in. You know, give them more incentive to do it.
That way you increase recruitment for the military and things like that. I mean, it's for the people that want to go, not that you have to go. Mm-hmm. And then This one. Stance on gay marriage. Support Democrats. Some Democrats disagree. And then oppose some Republicans. Disagree. Now, on this one, of course, you all know how I am about that one. So for this one, those of you who have been listening long enough know that I'm bisexual. Everyone that I talk to, about this, knows I'm bisexual. I asked them specifically about this issue. And from what I gathered was, it's not my business.
Exactly. 100%.
What I heard was, it's not my business what you do in your bedroom. It's not my business who you're married. That's completely up to you. What you do in your household is your business. Now, and then some did definitely say that, you know, I support you. I support what you do. Just don't try and force it on me, which is a lot of what you see happening in today. Because if, for example, if someone doesn't like the way that you do things and they think that their way is the right way, or you should say things this way instead of saying that way, they try to force you into changing that kind of thing instead of, you know, talking to you, having that conversation. And if you, you know, kind of push back against that, oh, it's an attack. Oh, it's you're intolerant. Oh, you're homophobic. No, you're not homophobic just because you don't want to date me. I would rather somebody tell me, you know, I'm not interested in you than to string them along and me sitting here thinking I'm in the best, happiest relationship whatsoever, and I'm actually not.
Yeah, and it's like completely
no interest in me whatsoever. Because I'm nobody's pity date. I'm gonna tell you that much. Nobody's pity date.
No.
Tell me that you're not interested, that way I can stop wasting my time.
Yeah, I mean, so it's just not one-sided.
So in the recent years, I've noticed that a lot of conservative / Republicans care less and less about this issue. And it's really the older generation that keeps that hard. No, it's against God and it's against this thing and it's against that. And it's against the way we should live our life. Love who you want to love. Be with who you want to be with. And just don't hurt each other. I mean, because the biggest thing is if you don't pay attention to what's in the media, to what's on, and you just walk outside your door and actually talk to the person that's next to you, chances are you're going to find out they're a really decent person.
Absolutely.
Even if you do disagree politically on things, chances are you're going to get along with that person and you're not really going to have very many problems. Because I know there are definitely some that I disagree with on a lot of stuff. We're still friends. Like, for example, the person that told me that all conservative and Republican people are evil and terrible and horrible people. And that was just because she found out that, or they found out that, that they were conservative or Republican. And as soon as they said that, I said, so until you found that thing out, you figured that they were a good person. So because of that one detail, that makes them bad. Because you disagree with them politically. You have no idea what their actual stances are. You haven't had a decent conversation with them about their stances, where they sit on issues, where they sit on your issues, on your personal issues that are close to your heart. You haven't had a conversation with them about that, but automatically they're a bad person. That is disgusting.
Absolutely.
And I had to have you can even say come to Jesus meeting with that person and say, that is disgusting. You should really fix that. And you should really learn to have a conversation.
I think that's what a lot of people need too, though, is to actually sit down and have conversations, like actually listen to what the other side has to say.
Right.
And I would tell you, and anybody that knows me will tell you, I cannot stand Biden. I hardly respect him. In the sense of, I only respect him because he is the president of the U.S. But in every other single sense, you know, what's he going to fall off today? Or is he going to keep spitting and sputtering trying to get a sentence out? You know, and I don't want to shoot shots at him. You know, man's like 89 years old. It is what it is. But, you know, going to this the stance on gay marriage and the LGBT community, whatever. I think the LGBTQIA plus element of P, whatever you want to call it, that whole movement has done, I think, in my opinion, hardly any justice to the gay community, gay and lesbian community, simply because of the fact that 90% of them are so far left that they refuse to hear any kind of conversation. They refuse to have that conversation. Yeah. Me personally, I'm one of those people that's, you know, do what you want. I don't care. It's not my place to tell you, you know, oh, you can't date a man. You can't date a woman, whatever. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm also, don't push it on me. Don't force me to believe in that idea.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's none of my business. I really don't care. Now, me coming back into my faith, being back home and coming into my faith again, is it biblically wrong? Yes.
Right.
But at the same time, the Bible also says love your neighbor.
Right.
And respect your neighbor. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I have the utmost respect for you. You know, when you came out to me umpteen years ago, I don't know, mm-hmm. forever ago.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the same exact what I told you was, it doesn't matter, dude. Like, I still love you. You're still my brother. Like, yeah. Nothing's going to change that.
Right.
That's just how I am. I've had numerous gay friends. I have a stepbrother that's flaming homosexual. I mean, he's married to another man, and I really don't care. I love him, and his husband, he's a cool dude. It is what it is. I don't care. Don't force it on me. Don't make it a political agenda.
Right.
That's the biggest thing.
Right. And it's just, you're right. I mean, not having that conversation, not being able to sit and understand, definitely hurts more than it helps, because mm-hmm. even with this, I mean, like I said, I was just laying down thinking, and then I just posed the question out to one person in messages, and then it went to another person, and then it went to another and another. And then I posted on Facebook, hey, anybody that thinks along these lines, please send me a message, because I want to have a conversation. And one of my friends actually thought it was an entrapment. And I was like, no, I just want to have a conversation, because there's some things that I don't understand, some things that I do understand, and some things that I want to make sure that I am getting right and not wrong.
I mean, that's kind of what I thought until you actually put it in there, that it's not an entrapment. I was like, okay, well, no, you know what?
It's not an entrapment. I'm not trying to have an argument. I'm not trying to start a fight. I'm not trying to start any kind of thing like that. And, you know, and one of the things, and somebody, you know, because the country was founded on Christian principles, that it's a, you know, it's the Christian thing. That's why a lot of it is, you know, the stance on gay marriage, the stance on abortion, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth.
Interesting point on abortion that happened the other night.
And then I posed the question. I said, so someone has to be a Christian to be a Republican or conservative, which I know it's not true, but I posed the question anyway. And they said, well, no, but, you know, the country was founded on these principles, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what they go by. And I said, okay, because if that's the case, then you're alienating a whole bunch of voters mm-hmm. and people that could actually stand with you on your belief or what your stances are, what you may think is important or vote for. Mm-hmm. And then that's not good, because then you force those people to become independent. And then the person that you want to be president or senator or governor, whatever, ends up losing out because you've marginalized this whole group of people. And then eventually they said, well, no, you really don't have to. And see, because in my faith, we don't really care. Date who mm-hmm. you want to date. I mean, that's your household. What you do in your household, once again, is not our business. In my faith, our thing is, you know, help each other, respect your fellow man, and don't be a dick.
Essentially.
And, you know, give honor to your ancestors and all the, and of course the land and everything that provides your food and all mm-hmm. that good stuff. And if you haven't seen it before, last episode, Hanging with Heathens, part one, that kind of explains what we believe in and how we do things and all that and so on and so forth. So a lot of this, you know, gay marriage, abortion, all that stuff, we don't what you do is what you do. When it comes to abortion, I've always said I don't have a say in that because I can't tell a woman what to do with their body.
Exactly.
My whole thing, my only hang up on it is that if you know for sure that having that baby is going to cause you to die, then you definitely have that right to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely have the right to make that choice, and you should be able to make that choice freely. What you do with your body is your business, and I don't think anybody should have the right to tell you you should or you shouldn't.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree. In a very, very strong opinion on that that I have is, you know, Planned Parenthood, the original thought of it was a good idea. I think that we shouldn't get rid of them in the sense of, you know, because they do offer a lot of good services. You know, they do, they give, you know, feminine hygiene products, they give advice, you know, they have sexual assault counseling and all this other stuff there. You know, it's a great resource for women. You know, I was speaking of feminine hygiene products, like they're super expensive. I think that those should be given out for free. I don't think that people should pay for them. Some things are expensive anyway. Yeah, that's a whole nother, we'll get on a whole nother thing on that. But as far as like abortion itself, I have always been a pro-choice. You know, it's not my problem. You know, it's your choice. It's your body. Do what you want with it. I don't really care. But in the same sense, you know, I don't believe in it personally. I don't think that it should be a thing. But, you know, like you said, if it is going to cause, if the pregnancy is going to cause issues with the mother or the child, I think there should be that option. I think it should be readily available. But I do not think that abortion should be a substitute for birth control. Just because, you know, you can't close your legs does not mean you should be able to run into an abortion clinic whenever you want to. You made the decision. Now, there are certain circumstances, you know, we have, you know, there are sexual assaults, there's incest, there's rape, all this other stuff. Huge points that, you know, I'll say all day long, they're horrible things that should never happen. But they do. That's the horrible part about it. Now, abortion shouldn't be used as a form of birth control. But in those instances, they should be readily available.
All right. We got a quick break. He went and did his bathroom thing, and now we're back on it.
Way to throw me out there, bud. Appreciate it.
Definitely. So
I hope you smell it.
Okay. It's in the bathroom, so I'm not worried about it. So the next thing, of course, is the stance on the death penalty. Now we're in Texas. A lot of people know what that means.
Kill them all, let God sort them out.
Yeah, but when it comes to the death penalty, for me, it depends on the crime. It depends on the crime.
I agree.
Depends on the crime, how egregious it was, how bad it was, so on and so forth. That's what makes me decide. Now, anybody else, I'm like, yeah, put them under jail and let them sit there. If a person does something to a child, well,
absolutely, firing squad.
Sure, you can do that, but I've heard that if they go to jail and the inmates find out,
oh yeah, it's
way worse.
Great time.
Yeah, I've heard it's way worse. So it just depends. Said this earlier: the stance on taxes, the stance on government regulation, flat tax, some tax rate regardless of income, generally opposing to raising of taxes. That's me. To me, I think we should just have a flat tax.
Yep.
And then that's it. It doesn't move. It doesn't change.
Well, there's, so on this where it says progressive for the Democratic side, you got to think, like, when Trump was running against Hillary, and I don't know if you remember this, the little snippet, when Hillary said something about, you know, if he used a loophole, a tax loophole or whatever, to avoid paying taxes. Trump openly admitted, yeah, absolutely. But he said, so do your donors. Which, the if you just do a flat tax, like, there's still going to be tax loopholes.
Yeah.
You know, you can always get around paying taxes. I'm currently going through the process and learning on how to get all through these loopholes because I'm tired of paying taxes myself. In the last 10 years, I've paid $300,000-$400,000 in taxes. So it's terrible. I agree. Flat tax, close all the loopholes, just strict, you know, 10, 20, 30% tax break. I really don't care.
Right. Stance on government regulation. Government regulations hinder free market, capitalism, and job growth. Government regulations are needed to protect consumers.
I mean, I completely agree that, you know, the regulations do hinder free market capitalism, because the more regulations that they're going to have, you know, regulations in starting your own business, EPA regulations, all these other, you know, they have whole branches of government that are devoted to regulations. And mm-hmm. It's not even, it would blow your mind to know the amount of money that we spend on EPA regulations,
mm-hmm.
like DEF for diesels, the biggest money scam on the planet. You know why? Because all it does is squirts this ammonia stuff. The DEF is basically ammonia. It squirts it on your diesel particulate filter. And then that then absorbs the unburnt carbons, i.e. diesel fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And then when your truck regens, it blows it out the exhaust anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cleaner, but it's really not. It still gets exited out the exhaust anyway. So you're going to sit here and tell me that the Environmental Protection Agency said, oh, this is what we need to do to reduce carbon output? Absolutely not. No. If we're going to regulate anything, it needs to be regulate large businesses, coal mining businesses. There's so many regulations on pipeline, it's not even funny.
Right.
I could go on a whole tangent between pipeline and solar. You know, solar, that stuff's there forever. But right. A pipeline, you go to a pipeline 10 years later and you can't even tell that it was there.
Yeah.
It just looks like a field.
I've heard stories about pipelines not being around anymore, collapsing or something like that. And
I'm here to tell you, they are way more strict than what people think. I've been there. I worked pipeline for 4 years. I've been there. I've seen it. I've repaired leaks. And it's crazy. We had EPA and Department of Environmental Quality on us the entire time, you know, so that we didn't spill any contaminated soil. So like, in those senses, yes, it's a good thing, but we shouldn't be spending the billions of dollars that we spend on regulations. It should only be for specific trades, but
and then forward its healthcare policy, support universal healthcare. Now, see, universal healthcare, I'm just like, yes. But from the conversations I've had, I've heard it's actually it's worse. Because for universal healthcare, from the ones that have lived in other countries and had to use it, they're taxed. The countries that have universal health care are taxed at a higher rate, and mm-hmm. it's actually harder to get in to see a doctor for basic stuff.
Yeah, the wait times are atrocious.
Their wait times are absolutely atrocious. And then by the time you get seen, you're either already better from what you tried to see the doctor for, or it's got mm-hmm. 10 times to see you.
So, and then you got to spend another week-long wait list to see another one.
And so for me, I'm just thinking, okay, universal healthcare. Okay, it's just like, you know, we have now, except we don't have to worry about having our insurance on us constantly. But then everyone else is like, no, it's actually worse, especially for the people that have lived in other places with universal healthcare. Mm-hmm. They actually prefer how things are here versus there. Like for right now, our healthcare is provided through our jobs and things like that. And with our jobs, we have Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas. Mm-hmm. And for us, our copay for doctor's visits is $25. Yeah, $25. And then for an urgent care, like the stopping in urgent care centers, that's 50. And then for emergency room, it's 100.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we have to get a referral to go to a specialist, I think it's like 40, which is not bad.
No, that's about right. The last company I was with, we had Blue Cross Blue Shield of Florida. And it was essentially the same. You know, it's pretty good insurance. You know, we had really good coverage.
Yeah, and it's also 80-20. So they pay for 80%, then you mm-hmm. pay for 20%, which is great. Because, you know, for someone with a disability, having to pay for crap to get fixed,
shit adds up.
20% versus 80%. Yeah. Go ahead and pay that 80%. Mm-hmm. I'll gladly pay that 20% copay mm-hmm. to get a wheelchair fixed or get a brand new chair or get something replaced. I'll happily take that day off and go to as many doctor's visits as you want.
Right.
So I can get my crap taken care of. That, I mean, at this juncture, I'd say that the insurance that I have right now is absolutely the absolute best. The only thing that can surpass it is the insurance that I had as a kid, under Children's Medicaid. That was good stuff. That was awesome too. Loved that. But universal healthcare, I'm still a person that says maybe we could use this, but we would have to figure out exactly how we could implement that in the United States if it could be possible.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, I do agree with universal healthcare. To an extent, though, you know, but the same thing is there going to be a flat tax on that? Is it going to be a progressive tax? You know, if I make $100,000 a year, am I going to have to pay $10,000 a year in that tax to, you know, for me to hardly ever use it? You know, 28 years old, I hardly ever see a doctor. You know, yeah. COVID came around, I was asymptomatic, I got it twice, and I never went to go see a doctor. Never had to.
Same. And I'm 30 and I rarely go to the doctor. I only go to the doctor when I have to because of my disability stuff.
Right.
That's the only time I ever go to the doctor. COVID came around. I think I got COVID before COVID was a thing.
Well, I 100% did. I know I did.
And then once it all started, I don't think if I did get sick, I didn't know it. And every time I tested, I was negative.
I tested positive twice.
Yeah, I've never tested positive for COVID. And then
I was off work 10 days. But I just laid in bed for 10 days because I didn't feel like doing anything.
Yeah, that was the protocol. Like, we had to be off for 10 days and we couldn't, like, go anywhere. We couldn't do anything. When we were all stuck in our houses, it was it legit scared me. I honestly thought I could not walk out of my apartment. And one day I did. And I just went outside and rolled around and in the sun, and I was like, I miss doing this.
Not physically rolled around. I know you didn't roll around like a log.
No.
You have to clarify that because some people are kind of, durr.
Whatever. They get it by now. Yeah, going outside, being out in the sun, eventually, because what I would do is I would open the window because my computer's next to the window, and just let, you know, birds, sun, all the stuff. And then my TV is right behind me. So there were some times where, you know, I didn't have very much to do. So I would just spin around and go back to playing video games or eating or whatever. And then chime back in whenever I needed to answer some emails or something, mm-hmm. And go from there. But yeah, during that entire time period, I don't think I went to go see a doctor once. And anytime I had to go get tested, once again, I was negative mm-hmm. the whole time.
But we were still on lockdown.
Yeah, we were still on lockdown. It was not fun. Governor Abbott, our governor of Texas, he did everything he could to get us out of those lockdowns as soon as possible.
We, between us and Florida, we had the loosest lockdowns.
Yeah, we had the loosest lockdown policies.
Thankfully, I was in Texas for roughly a year, for the first year of COVID. And then, once it slacked up and everybody kind of opened up, is when I went to Virginia.
Right.
And, I spent 4 years over there.
Right.
And over there, it's horrible over there. And, they may be a Republican state, but there are so many Democrats over there, it's not even funny. And I don't say that as a bad thing, but at the same time, it's a shit show over there. It really is. Like, poverty line, horrible. Like, I stayed in and it's a college town. They have Liberty University, great school, Christian school, but it is so ghetto. Like, you think downtown Beaumont's ghetto, go to downtown Lynchburg. Like, you hear the sirens here about every, couple hours maybe. It's like every 15 minutes. Jeez. It's horrible.
Yeah. And stance on immigration, all for it. Legal immigration, all for it.
I think it needs to be easier to become a citizen.
It needs to be streamlined. It needs to be streamlined because people have to wait so long to get their citizenship here. I really think, especially now in 2024 with computers and technology and the way that we can do things, there has to be a way that we can streamline that entire process.
Absolutely. There has to be a way to do it because there are some people that have waited years and still not heard back, and it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
People want to come to this country because it is one of the best countries on the planet. You can come here, create your own business and become a millionaire within a couple of years.
Yep.
And who wouldn't want to do that?
Exactly.
Who wouldn't want to come here and reap the benefits that America has to offer? So the challenge really is like you said, to streamline it.
Streamline it and then getting through the humps of the current system and seeing what can be worked out and made easier. And I hate to even make the comparison, but also to get passports and stuff, that takes a minute for us Americans to even be able to get out of the country. We have to have, passports, and those are,
it takes like, God, 2 or 3 months for them to come in.
Yeah, it takes 2 or 3 months, and if you need it expedited, I think you can get it.
I think it's like $60 to get it expedited.
Yeah, it's an extra $60 to get it expedited, but that's on top of the near $200 you're going to pay to get the thing made.
Mm-hmm.
My application for a passport is actually on the table behind us, and I need to get that turned in because I do plan on getting out of the country in the next year.
Well, good news, if you go on a cruise, all you need is your birth certificate.
Yeah, but I still want a passport. Still want to be able to say I have mine so I can leave at any point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the stance on immigration. And then traditionally strong in states, California, Massachusetts, New York, Democratic, Republican, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Texas, of course.
I think they left out Florida on there for the Republicans.
They definitely left out Florida on that one.
One thing, I disagree with some of what Greg Abbott has done.
Right.
Just because, he's kind of an asshole. But, I really have enjoyed the big middle finger to the Biden administration when they tried to shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
Shut him down on closing our border.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, screw you, I'm doing it anyway.
Right.
and then shipping all the immigrants to these quote sanctuary cities.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're in complete disarray, and you know, now they understand what we're going through, but we can also afford to house them. You don't claim to be a sanctuary city if you're not willing to do what you claim you're going to do.
Right. And then there's other things on here that don't get covered in extreme detail. Like for example, gun control. For the people that I've talked to, it's been, the question is how. I've always said more training, background checks, you have to renew it and more frequently. I think if you work for the state, you have to do it every year. For us, for license holders, I think we only have to renew our license every 4 years. And I don't think we have to take a test.
In Texas, you don't have to do anything anymore. It's constitutional carry.
Yeah, it's a constitutional carry now. I forgot. In Texas, you don't actually need your...
That's why I never went and got mine, because I knew it was going that way before too long anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I normally keep mine on me.
So now we don't even need our licenses, but I keep mine as an extra... as an extra bit of identification, because if I don't have my ID, then I at least have that, and then I can check that license, and it does have my picture and date of birth. However, it cannot be used to get on a flight. Found that out.
Really?
Cannot be used to get on a flight. No, I handed it to them, and they said, we can't take this. We need your actual license. So I had to, like...
It's a government-issued ID.
I know, but I had to still dig through my stuff to, like, my... ID is in a clear part of my wallet. And I have to actually like dig that sucker out of the wallet to hand it over, because they take it, they scan it, and then it tells them whether I can board a flight or not. But they could not take the license to carry. They had to actually have my state ID. And the same thing when I went to Fort Hood, Fort Cav. They actually had to have my physical ID for me to get a visitor's pass. They could not take my license to carry, because they took my ID and made that a visitor's pass, and I had a visitor's pass for Fort Cav for 4 days.
That's neat.
And if I needed a longer one, then I would have had to go into an office, answer some questions, and they would have given me a pass that would have lasted probably a month. But yeah, for me, I always say background check away, test. Like, I would not mind taking a test to keep my license or my firearm every year. I would actually love it, because then I would be able to, test myself and shoot even more often than I do now.
Right. Good time.
It would be a great time.
I mean, I'll tell you, like, on the gun control thing, kind of like what I sent you as an answer is, you know, I think it should just come down to more training.
Yes.
You know, if you do want to have an abundance of, as you know, what we call it in Texas is artillery, basically, you know, you want to have your own arsenal, then I think that, yes, there should be a very vivid mental exam, especially if you have younger children.
Yep.
You should have at least one safe. You should have locking drawers.
Yep.
You should definitely teach your children more gun safety.
Yes.
Because I've been shooting since I was probably 5 years old. And that's not an exaggeration. I think I got my first 22 when I was 5 years old. Before, killed my first squirrel with it. And, you know, I think it was so good too. The squirrel, not the gun. But a lot of people don't understand that if you train people, they are less likely to truly commit acts of violence with a firearm.
Yeah.
If you train them and teach them, you know, hey, this is wrong. Like, you never point a firearm at somebody.
You never point a fire, like,
anybody.
The one thing that, our instructor for our LTC said is, unless you intend to destroy it, don't point it.
Exactly.
Which I never do. Like, I have never
I beg to differ. You had yours unchambered, and I come around the corner, and it was pointed at my knees.
It was unchambered. There was nothing in it. I cleared it twice. I cleared it a third time just to make sure everything was good. But when I come home, I take it off and I store it away.
I've heard stories and read articles about kids, 10, 11, 12 years old. Granted, I'm sure they're probably traumatized from it now.
Yeah.
But, them being home alone and an intruder comes in and they know exactly where the firearms are at. They know the code to access it. They know only to access it in cases of emergencies. They know to point, shoot, and stop your assailant.
Yep.
And I've seen so many stories about this, and I just think, it sucks that child had to do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's horrible, and anybody shouldn't have it.
Yeah.
But in the same sense, I give props not only to the child for being able to remain composed, being able to do what they need to do to stop the threat, and the parents for truly teaching them, this is for emergencies only.
Mm-hmm.
You do not come in here. You know how to load it. You know how to make sure it's safe. You don't shoot anybody in the back. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Especially if they're attacking you. If they run away, don't shoot them.
Don't shoot them.
You just, mental picture and be done with it. But I've seen a lot of cases like that, and I give props to the parents. Major props, major respect for the parents that teach their kids the proper way to use firearms.
Most definitely. And then another one of the things that really isn't covered on that list is something that's near and dear to me, the veterans of our United States military.
Yeah.
There needs to be more care, more resources, more everything for the people that have put their lives on the line for our country.
100%.
There definitely needs to be more resources out there, because one of the things that I've heard a lot of is nobody explained this to me. Nobody told me this. Nobody showed me how to do any of this. And that's just trying to help them with the educational side of things for veteran affairs. I would hate to see what the healthcare side is. And I've heard horror stories, but I
can tell you horror stories because my stepdad, you know my stepdad.
Yeah.
He's 74 years old now. It took him, 12 years to go from 70% to 100% disability. Vietnam veteran, exposed to Agent Orange.
Yep.
A plethora of medical issues, including but not limited to, skin cancers. He's had, he has diabetes, he has tinnitus, he has tendonitis. He has all these medical issues that the VA was beating around the bush on giving him his 100% disability, degenerative disc disease, and none of these things run in his family. Nothing.
Right.
None of these issues that he's having runs in his family. It's purely from exposure to Agent Orange.
Yeah.
And it is god awful. He has horror stories from going to the pharmacies, the VA pharmacies. Literally got told that he needs to call his order in because he's wasting his time if he just shows up and doesn't call his order in. And he said the next time he went there that pharmacist was fired. So that was when Trump was in office. So we can kind of expect that Trump had a handle in that.
Nice.
It's at one point or another, but some is can use an absolute overhaul.
Yeah.
We definitely need to take care of our veterans, especially homeless veterans.
Yeah.
We do more for so many other people in this country, and we don't do near enough for our veterans.
Yeah, we don't. And to me, in our mind, we need to definitely focus on our country first.
Absolutely.
We need to focus on fixing our own problems.
We need to stop sending $300 billion to Ukraine.
Especially, not even just homeless veterans, just homeless people, period. Why do we have so many homeless living on the street? Veterans.
About 30% of them are divorcees.
They shouldn't be living on the street. The people that served our country should not be living on the street.
100%.
And then one other part of it that's not listed is definitely police officers and emergency medical services. Police officers have to wear so many damn hats that at this point that they're not paid enough. Emergency medical services are not paid enough. We don't have enough enough resources for mental health, men's and women's.
That 100% I agree on. There's more resources for women's mental health than there are for men.
And the one thing that sucks is that there was one time where I was seriously contemplating suicide.
Been there before, brother.
And I told someone, and instead of, you know, talking me down, they called the cops. Now, I am by no means a person that hates law enforcement. I don't hate police. I'm not one of the ACABs or whatever you call it. However, in that situation, that should not have happened.
Well, that's not I don't think that's a situation that, you know, police should be truly involved in. I think that if 911 gets called to a wellness check for a mental crisis, mm-hmm. I don't think it should be a police officer.
Right.
100%. I think that they should send like a government appointed therapist or psychiatrist, somebody that can sit down and talk to you specifically about the problems that you're going through and how to handle those problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I myself, I've been through therapy.
Right. And then just in general, I've heard, you know, defund the police, defund this, defund that.
More funding. More
because,
training.
Yes, more training. And once again, if you feel like you can make a difference, hey, jump in there, apply, get in there, do something to make that change. Mm-hmm. And
be the change.
Yeah, be the change you want to see. I've always said that if I could go and join the military, I would. But because of my limitations, can't. With the way technology is, he definitely never understood why someone like me with my mind couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, especially, I don't have a wife, children, anything like that. So for me, between the ages of 24 and 30, excellent time to, because my college is already over.
Right.
So why not? And I definitely want to make a career out of it because, once again, no wife, no children, all good.
Speaking of college, I think most colleges nowadays are scams. I think it's a sham.
College, the four-year university model is not the end-all be-all anymore. I will say that. The four-year college thing is not the end-all be-all. Now, to me, I think that we should push trade schools a lot more. Mm-hmm. And then if for your education, you will not need higher level chemistry, math, history, or anything like that, there should be a way to get through or past all that. That way you can get into your program faster.
Mm-hmm.
For your four-year degree, whether that be more in-depth program courses for your four-year degree, or maybe a couple semesters, or a couple years of internship in the actual thing that you want to get your degree in. That way, you're actually sitting and you're doing it, and you figure out, okay, so this is what I would be doing in the daily. Do I want to do this?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Or, oh, this is what it is. Never mind.
Yeah, and I think these trade options should also be available through high schools. So you can truly get a taste of it without having to pay for it.
Right.
I took welding in high school. And I loved it. You know, my whole family's welders, both my older brothers, my dad, my great-grandma, they were all welders. And so I figured it ran in my blood, and I was just naturally good at it, but it's not something that I would want to do.
Now, this day and age, there is such a thing as schools offering dual credit through colleges, mm-hmm. for their students to graduate with certificates in welding and different trades when they graduate from high school as well. They're taking high school and trade college classes at the same time. It's not like the old dual credit where you're actually just taking general education college courses. You can do dual credit and other things now.
Okay.
Besides just general education. Now there is the, you know, graduate with your associates when you graduate with your high school diploma, but there's also graduate with your certificate in welding or your certificate in process operating or instrumentation or electrical or culinary arts or something like that.
Shit, I loved culinary arts in high school. I took 2 years of that stuff.
Yeah. Within that 2 years, if it would have been like it is now, you probably would have been able to graduate with a certificate in culinary arts.
Yeah, but that's also one of those other useless degrees.
Yeah.
You don't need a certificate to know how to cook in a restaurant setting.
Well, you'd be surprised because a lot of people don't understand the differences between what's clean, what's dirty, salmonella, getting people sick. They don't know their health guidelines, anything like that.
You can ask her. I hate cooking chicken. Every time I cook chicken, I'll break a piece off and open the camper door and be like, hey, is this done? Because, you know, me being colorblind, I still can't tell if chicken's done or not. Same thing with pork loins. But, you know, I got that auto thermometer thing for our oven that lets me know when pork loins and stuff is done.
When the dough is done.
That's nice.
Right.
Definitely eating my fair share of almost medium rare pork chops. Still kicking. Ain't caught sarsaparilla or anything.
Nice. But yeah, there's just with this little exploration I did on myself and my thoughts and where I kind of sit politically on things, I've learned a few things about myself, and I'm happy to have learned those things and been able to have these conversations, these deeper conversations with people that I've known for years, and kind of see what the other side thinks about things. And because I think in my family, they've all voted strictly down the ballot Democrat for years, and I've never understood why either side would do that. Why would you not do your homework, evaluate, look at these people, talk to them? Well, not talk to them, but talk, figure out what their politics are or how they are as people, and go from there.
I definitely think family has a whole lot to do with it. I was raised in, you know, a very Republican household, but I've also had my own life experiences that has caused me to truly embrace more conservative ideals. You know, I do have a couple where I lean more left, but majority across the board, I'm completely conservative. You know, energy independence, flat tax rates, or completely lower tax, abolish taxes, abolish payroll taxes. It's all the way across the board. You know, overtime taxes. Hey, matter of fact, Trump's going. He just announced that when he gets elected again, he's going to anything that's over 40 hours is going to be tax free.
Good.
So, Trump 2024. I'm voting felon. Arrest this.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna get a shirt. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna wear it to the gym.
I can see you doing that. You go to the gym now?
Yeah, we go to Crunch.
Wow.
It's nice. I like it. It's a great gym, really.
Would never have seen you. Would never have thought you'd be a gym goer.
I'm not big. I was like 265 at my biggest.
Wow.
What was that the other day? 220? I was like 220 the other day.
Nice.
Trying to drop.
Good for you. You're watching your health. I'm proud of you.
Not really. I don't eat very good.
He doesn't try
anyway. Really?
No.
I don't even try to eat good. I just eat what I want.
Damn. I will tell you, home cooked is better than.
Oh, it is 100%.
Than store bought. The store bought crap just sucks.
She kind of threw me under the bus today because, you know, we went to Taco Bell the other day and they have that Cantina chicken, but they have the bowl.
Yeah.
She got the bowl, but I got the grilled cheese burrito box.
The bowls are way better.
Hey, listen. She said the same thing. She was like, look, if you really cared, you would have got a bowl. And I was like, look, don't you dare discriminate me. Don't you food discriminate me.
I mean, they are. I mean, because anywhere that I go, if they have a bowl option, I'm going to go with the bowl option because it's easier, quicker. And to me, it fills me up a lot more. That's why when I've gone to places like Chipotle or Free Birds or anything like that, I never get like the burritos or tacos. I just go ahead and get the bowl because it fills me up better.
Mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for tortillas. So.
We could possibly do a food episode.
Don't get me started,
dude. I could talk about some
food. I definitely would like to sit down if you do come across somebody that is, on the other side of the Democratic side. You know, I think we should do a joint episode because
we definitely should, so that we can actually show that cover that aspect of having an actual conversation with that person and being able to see where we meet in the middle and where, you know, some give and take and some thoughts. You know, where some thoughts lie.
But it's got to be one a Democrat that is calm, cool, and collective. Not one that's going to get upset and start yelling and crying and, you know, like these woke people.
Hey, either way.
I can't. I wouldn't do it.
Hey, either way.
I'm open-minded. I am. But, you know, just some people they get very emotional over it and not sure why.
Very emotional over their politics and things like that. And I think that's also like that child part of me that I don't understand why you're so overly.
I grow up. Into you know this. What I mean?
Like it's okay.
It's just politics. Realistically, what are you specifically going to do about it to improve?
Right. Yeah,
there's nothing I specifically can do to improve anything other than vote the way that I want to vote. You know, it's not even a question. You know, there's nothing that I specifically can do.
And I mean, at the end of the day, I always say that, hey, tomorrow I'll still have to get up and go to work and get a paycheck and pay my bills and pay the taxes and do all the things and just try to live life the best way I can, because I can't quit my job tomorrow and just live off the government. That's not something I'd be willing to do. I mean, right after college, I was on disability for a couple of years or like a year, and it was not great. Not having that routine, not being able to feel like I'm actually contributing to society, like I'm actually draining, like I'm actually using something somebody else can have. Like I felt guilty at times for being on disability, even though I qualify because of my disability. I still felt bad because I'm just like, I don't really need this. I can get a full-time job.
And now you do.
Even though I didn't like have one at the time, I'm like, yeah, I really shouldn't be using this because I can get a full-time job. And everybody's like, well, just use it until you get a full-time job. And I still felt bad. I still didn't feel like I should have been doing it, but that's just me because I'm one of those people that's, I'm not just going to sit around. Even if I was rich, I don't think I would be one of those lay around rich people. I'd be one of those people that, yeah, let's keep the money flowing, but hey, let's go do something. Let's go like change the world. Let's go like get rid of people's worries. That's also why I could never be rich, because all my money would be gone within the short space of like 6 months, and all of it would be gone to like helping other people, getting rid of their worries. Oh, this person doesn't have a car. Here's enough money for another car. Here's enough money to fix your car. You need this. Here's this then. Okay, well, you're in real financial struggle, or you really need this. Okay, well, here's the money. And
how do you feel about redistribution of wealth? That's a big topic for the Democratic side, is redistributing wealth of billionaires. Maybe not Democratic side, maybe more socialist, but
I wouldn't say no to it for the, you know, big and wealthy and stuff. I wouldn't say no to it, but
I would be completely beside myself if, you know, the government came in and was like, hey, we're going to take 75% of your income and we're going to redistribute it to other people. And I'm like, the hell you are.
Right.
Like, I worked very hard. I've built these things with my bare hands, and you're not going to take what is mine.
Yeah.
You know, which granted, he's not liquid hundreds of billions of dollars. You know, it's in stock options and stuff like that. But, you know, in that same sense, like Jeff Bezos, you know, he's probably a trillionaire, I think. And, you know, he worked hard building Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard. And now you know, if I worked hard building Amazon, I wouldn't want somebody to come in and say, hey, we're going to take, you know, $6 trillion, you know, or, you know, just a, throwing a number out there, but we're not going to take 80 or 90% of your income to redistribute it to people below the poverty line.
Right. Also fair.
You know, I can't, that just stuck with me. You know, they worked really hard for their money. I couldn't do it. That's, you know, even, you know, if you make $100,000 a year, I still don't think you should.
Yeah. Because in the long run, $100,000 a year ain't that much anymore. Yeah.
I mean, but you think about, you know, there's different aspects to wealth, right? You know, you have the generational wealth, and you have the people that built their own wealth. And then you have the people in the government
mm-hmm.
that are inherently wealthy because of insider trading.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Pelosi. She's completely guilty of it, but you know, people can be bought. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that's wrong with the country is that people can be bought. That's why, that's one reason I really enjoy Trump, because he cannot be bought.
Mm-hmm.
He did not take a single paycheck the whole time he was in office.
Mm-hmm.
There's a record of it. He has donated to every single check every month was to a different charity. Mm. Every single one. And that is public fact. You can fact check me on it. He never accepted a single paycheck. Some like $200,000 a month.
Mm.
Never took it.
There you go. But definitely there's just so many issues.
I could sit here for hours.
And then one that of course is near and dear to me next to veterans is of course accessibility for people with disabilities.
I think that should be a standard.
I heard, well, because of the federal law, it's supposed to be. But I've heard that laws in other countries when it comes to disability services are somewhat better than the ones here. I would have to speak with my buddy over in the UK for that to be certain, but a tiny bit better than they are over here. And that's, if that's true, that's saying something. I think the US could definitely do a little bit of research into how the other countries do. Of how the other countries serve or serve their people with disabilities and go from there, because getting a vehicle for a person with a disability, it's still somewhat of a hardship because that person still has to, one, buy the vehicle, and then two, find a way to fund getting the accommodations done. So, for example, when I was trying to get a vehicle, I was told that it needed to be within 10 years old, had to have less than 30,000 miles, and that I would be responsible for, of course, maintenance and upkeep of the vehicle, and then they would pay for the accommodations to get the gas and brake put on the steering wheel or wherever I needed them mm-hmm. in order for me to drive properly. And getting a vehicle that's within 10 years old and below 30,000 miles.
That's hard.
That's really hard.
I mean, because I just barely found my truck, and it's a 21, and it's it had 24,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I didn't pay a whole lot for it, but.
Right.
It's,
but at the same time, you're at that point, if it has to be within 10 years use, you really don't want to get something that's used, because if you get mm-hmm. something that's used and then you get the accommodations done, but then it breaks, you don't know if the accommodation itself is broken, if mm-hmm. that did something, or if it was something because of the vehicle's previous owner.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to make that kind of stipulation, then you might as well just go ahead and buy new. And if you're going to buy new, then here comes car payments, truck payments, or whatever kind of payments. Because for me, it would have to be a truck because of the wheelchair, the walker, having mm-hmm. to. And if I had to evacuate because of hurricanes, Southeast Texas, thank you.
Harvey.
Yeah, 27. having to evacuate. That's not fun. It has to be a truck because the chair can't stay, and the walker has to go with me, because if I want to be able to walk around anywhere, then what am I going to use?
Because you definitely don't want to scoot everywhere.
No, definitely not. Especially with some places not really being wheelchair accessible.
At least with your walker, you can, if the steps are big, you can go up the steps, right. You know, but
the chair, it creates some limits. And even though I am getting older and it's getting hard for me to walk long distances, I'd still rather have the walker in case of emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
Because push comes to shove, I will, you know, walk around and shuffle my ass as fast as I can, because I'm not just going to sit there and not participate or miss out on something or not get to do something. Mm-hmm. Because, oh, the chair can't go, so he can't go. Nah, fuck that. I've lived that life. I'm not doing that again. But it all goes back to, you know, do we have these certain people in power and around who want to make those changes, who want to make those differences, and it can help the population make those differences and changes, and so on and so forth. And then also just, you know, making sure to know the laws that govern us and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole nother thing that we could talk for hours on. For right now, I think we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll come back with our calendar of events for the week. Be right back. All right, and we're back. So at this point in the show, as always, we always want to plug our events calendar. Always, as always, open mic comedy at 409 Rooftop Bar on Tuesday nights. And then, of course, we have our open mic nights at Texas Rose Saloon here right on South MLK Junior Parkway. On Thursday nights, you can always try your hand at some comedy if you like it. You can be like old Tom and try and be funny. Anybody can be funnier than that guy, let's be honest. and then outside of that, this week we are celebrating Juneteenth. So happy Juneteenth to all who celebrate. And then just a quick reminder here in the next, my dates are all over the place. Hold on.
Tomorrow actually is Juneteenth.
Yeah, tomorrow is actually Juneteenth. So right now we're recording this on the 18th. So the next day would be Juneteenth. So by the time this post, it's probably going to be either the evening of Juneteenth or the following day. So everyone who celebrates, I hope you had a great Juneteenth and can get back to everything in good spirits and in happy times. Not next week. I will be leaving for Washington once again. I will be out of Texas from July 3rd to July 13th. So I will be returning on a Saturday. So if we don't have any episode postings between that time frame, that is why, because I am out of town. I will be taking my laptop. I'm going to try and download all of the software that I use, but I cannot promise anything. I'm going to try and get an episode off while I'm out there. But once again, no promises, because I don't know how much that MacBook of mine can do. It's been a minute since I broke that thing out, so.
Not much. It is an Apple product.
Yeah, whatever. However, I will try and record some video to post to our Facebook page. If you aren't already following, it's Unhinged with Coach and Tom podcast on Facebook. And then we also have our YouTube channel of the same name. And then, of course, you can listen to the podcast on Apple and Spotify podcasts, as well as Amazon Music podcasting as well. And then we do post every episode on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, at the same time that it is released on Apple and Spotify. So many different ways to listen and to watch. If you want to see us, our faces, YouTube is your way to go. If you don't, if you just want to listen to our lovely voices, you can always just use Apple or Spotify, because that is our major podcast outlets. Enough of me talking. Any events that you have coming up?
No, I really don't have anything coming up. I I just work. All I do is work. I don't really do a whole lot of events.
Okay.
I know that we plan to go with my brother to Florida in July. So hoping to get out there and catch some big old redfish or some black tips or something like that. So it's going to be a good time. It's been a while since I've been to the beach, but other than that, you know, I don't have a whole lot of events planned. Kind of just fly by the seat of my pants, really.
Right. And he's not single, but if anybody wanted to find any of your find you on social media, what social medias could they follow you or friend you on?
They can find me on Facebook at Wyatt Loomis. The Instagram, I believe, is at Wyatt Loomis as well. It's my two major socials that I mess around on. I would have to look and send Coach the TikTok that I have, and he'll post that in the credits.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's all from me. That's all from us. And I'm Coach.
I'm Wyatt.
And we've been doing that bullshit. Until next time, stay safe. Don't do anything stupid. Don't add to the population and don't subtract from the population. Be good people. Love y'all. Bye.
Trump 2024. Oh.